Hey, it's Coach Pete. Retirement comes a lot faster than we realize it will. Wouldn't it be great to be looking forward to it and be financially secure when you get to the magic day? Well, folks, that's why it's important to work with a financial coach who understands the need for proper planning before, during, and after retirement, and why I recommend you call my close personal friend and coach in your area. And in Chicagoland, I recommend you call my local financial coach, John Kelly, at 800-477-1135. That's 800-477-1135.
And it's time for Business Heads or Tails, where we find out about business successes and business not-so-successes. We're going to flip a coin right now and see whether it lands on heads for a success or tails, not so much. And let's give this coin a flip. It's tails. Okay, so a not-so-successful company then. We'll do Edison Records. Thomas Edison invented the phonograph in 1877, and 10 years later, he returned to the concept, debuting wax cylinders in 1889. Now, over the next 25 years, Thomas Edison basically ruled the phonograph cylinder business because he kept his wax formula secret, even from his own chemist.
That's pretty funny.
Wow.
And then came the disc records. Now, while Victor and Columbia talking machine companies were doing the top business with the disc records, and they were very popular with the general public, Edison thought he could do better. Now, his disc records were thicker, producing a higher quality sound, and were incompatible with other companies' record players. Now, these records were so high quality that Edison regularly staged shows at venues like Carnegie Hall with all of the lights out and challenged the audience to tell whether they were listening to a live singer or his record recordings. Now, although they were more expensive, Edison records were still the third most popular in America. And then, two factors led to the company's downfall, both aspects of Edison's ego. Number one, his secret recipe. During World War I, Edison's European chemical supplies were disrupted. He tried lower quality ingredients to make those wax discs that he was so famous for, but that led to lower quality sound for the same high price, and we know that nobody's going to pay for that.
Right. No.
And then, secondarily, Edison insisted on using his and only his musical taste to decide the record company's catalog. His old-fashioned preferences were more and more out of touch in the jazz age, and he was too slow adopting younger generation songs, losing more and more ground until Edison Records folded. Interestingly, one day before the 1929 stock market
crash.
Wow,
talk about timing right there.
Yeah.
You know, I like the when he did the Carnegie Hall with the lights off, and it was telling people to judge if it was live or if it was a recording.
Great, right? Marketing. So, great marketing.
You know, that brings up a slogan back in the day from Memorex. Memorex was a cassette tape maker back then, and I remember them saying, is it live or is it Memorex? Wow. And they had a glass breaking. They had one of his wine glasses where they had a Memorex tape play and breaking the glass. It's funny what you remember, though, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it is.
That was probably 40 years ago. That was the cassette tape days when Columbia House used to send you 12 for a penny. Remember
yep,
that?
I do remember that.
Right.
Now, this is where we see the problem of getting too set in your ways. If you're using that secret formula and you're not letting anybody in, you're the only one who's using that formula, so you're the only one affected when those chemicals aren't available.
That's interesting. So he's getting his, well, the people narrowed it down because they figured out his supplies came from Europe, right? So they can see what kind of chemicals are only available in Europe, and they can narrow down a little bit.
That's right.
Well, I'm curious what a wax cylinder was, though. What's a wax cylinder?
So the wax cylinder, it looked like...
Was it like a pencil or something like that?
It was larger. It was more the size of one of those bank cylinders at the
Okay, you make a deposit kind
of thing.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
And it was all made of wax, and it would go around, I guess?
It would go around. And there would be a needle reading the ridges on it.
Kind of like a little music box that you would
get
that plays Christmas songs or something, or a ballerina.
And similarly, the disc records that we think about today are based on the grooves, and those are horizontal movements back and forth, whereas Edison's records were vertical. That's why the records were so thick, because it would read it from the waves up and down rather than let the needle trace the little grooves.
Well, it explains why all my records I left in the attic melted. All my great old albums are gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but that happens. That's life, we call it.
Well, you've got to watch out for moving with the times. Sometimes it's time to get a second opinion on your plan, move from accumulation to preservation, and just make sure that you are using the most up-to-date strategies that are out there. If you need any help putting together a plan that is the most up-to-date, that is going to get you to that successful retirement, then give Coach Pete's personal hotline a call today, and he'll get you in touch with your local financial coach. 800-604-1099. Again, that's 800-604-1099. We don't want to be a broken record here, but it is time to call. And we've got a great interview with your local financial coach coming up on the Financial Safari.
It's time for a financial definition. The rule of 100 is a way to determine how much risk you should have in your portfolio. Subtract your age from 100. For example, a 70-year-old would get a result of 30, and that's the maximum amount of risk that that person should have in their portfolio. Use the rule of 100 to make sure you're not overexposed to risk as you approach retirement.